Gopidanavallabha Girivaradhari Yashodanandana Brajajanarandana Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jayo Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Jayo Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Jaya Gopijana Vallabha Girivaradhari Jaya Gopijana Vallabha Girivaradhari Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jayo Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Jayo Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Jaya Om Vishnupaya Paramahansa Parivrajaka Acharya Ashtotarashtra Shri Shrimad Esi Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jaya Kantaraj Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Jaya Nitai Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Bo Samaveta Bhakta Vrinda Kija All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Sri Guru Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 11, The Childhood Pastimes of Krishna. Text number 12 and 13. Text 12 word meanings. Sadit Tira, to the riverside, Gatam, who had gone, Krishnam, unto Krishna, Bhagna Arjunam, after the pastime of breaking the Yamala Arjuna trees, Ata, then, Avayat, called Ramam Cha, as well as Balaram, Rohini, the mother of Balaram, Devi, the goddess of fortune, Kridantam, who were engaged in playing, Balakai, with many other boys, Brisham, with deep attention. Saritira gatam Krishnam, Bhagnarjuna matavayat, Ramam cha Rohini Devi, Kridantam balaked brisham, Saritira gatam Krishnam, Bhagnarjuna matavayat, Ramam cha Rohini Devi, Kridantam balakar drisham, Saritira gatam Krishnam, Bhagnarjuna matavayat, Ramam cha Rohini Devi, Kridantam balakar brisham. Ladies. Translation. Once after the uprooting of the Yamala Arjuna trees, Rohini Devi went to call Ram and Krishna, who had both gone to the riverside and were playing with the other boys with deep attention. Purport. Mother Yashoda was more attached to Krishna and Balaram than Rohini Devi was. Although Rohini Devi was the mother of Balaram, Mother Yashoda sent Rohini Devi to call Ram and Krishna from their play, since it was the right time for lunch. Therefore, Rohini Devi went to call them, breaking their engagement in play. Text 13. Nopeyatam yadadhutau krida sangena putrakau yashodam prishayamasa rohini putravatsalam. Because of being too attached to playing with the other boys, Krishna and Balaram did not return upon being called by Rohini. Therefore, Rohini sent Mother Yashoda to call them back, because Mother Yashoda was more affectionate to Krishna and Balaram. Purport. Yashodam Prashayam Asa. These very words show that since Krishna and Balaram did not care to return in response to the order of Rohini, Rohini thought that if Yashoda called, they would have to return, for Yashoda was more affectionate to Krishna and Balaram. Om Jnana Timirantasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Mena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. This is a somewhat uncomfortable subject. Saying that one devotee is more advanced than another or loves Krishna more than another. Prabhupada says it, so we'll have to talk about it, I guess. So the boys are playing. It says here they're playing Brisham with deep attention. So they're absorbed in their play. It's time for Krishna and Balaram to come in for lunch. Actually, we'll see later that it's apparently it's Krishna's birthday. It says his birth star is risen or something like that. It seems to imply that it's his birthday. In any case, there's some celebration going on. Krishna and Balaram have to come in from their play. So Rohini Devi, the mother of Balaram, goes out to call them and they don't come back. They say, we're having too much fun. We're too absorbed in playing with our friends. We don't want to come. So then Yashoda is called in because they can't refuse Mother Yashoda, apparently, because she has more love. And Prabhupada quotes this, Yashodam Preshayam Asa. These very words show that since Krishna and Balaram did not care to return in response to the order of Rohini, for Mother Yashoda was more affectionate to Krishna and Balaram. So these words mean, Yashodam Preshayam Asa sent Mother Yashoda to call them. When I first read the Yashodam Preshayam Asa, I thought, oh, this maybe says that Yashoda loves Krishna more, but that's not what it says. All it says is that Rohini asked Yashoda. So what Prabhupada is doing is inferring here that this is why she did it. It doesn't come right out directly and state it, but it seems to imply that, well, but Krishna will have to come if Yashoda calls, because Yashoda calls. Yashoda loves Krishna more. So this theme of the, might call it the hierarchy of devotees. We talk about pure devotees, and that can mean many things. As we've mentioned before, Prabhupada even called his disciples pure devotees, but we know certainly that means something quite different from the Mahabhagavata, the pure devotees who are liberated, nitya, siddhas, nitya, jivas, the jivas who have realized their eternal relationship with Krishna, have no attachment to anything in this material world, pure, really what we'd say, pure devotees, having no desire other than to love Krishna. So any devotee in that category, of course, is extremely exalted. Rohini Devi, she's thinking, well, I have to ask Yashoda to call them because, we might say in another way, she's more advanced than I am. Let her do this because she's more advanced than I am. She's an advanced devotee. So Krishna will respond to her call. So this is, of course, something that we do in Krishna consciousness. We ask the more advanced devotee to intercede with Krishna, to ask for Krishna, to pray to Krishna. Devotees say that amongst themselves also. Please pray for me. We might think that Krishna may not listen to my prayers because I'm such a low rascal, but he'll listen to you because you're such a sincere devotee. And of course, we especially do it through the parampara, through our spiritual master, and everyone in the parampara, and then all of Krishna's associates. We can pray to any of them directly. There are different places where, for example, in the nectar of devotion, there are different prayers. The acharyas have recited prayers. There's a beautiful prayer to Yashoda, which I don't have it here. But Prabhupada says we can all pray to Mother Yashoda like this, and he quotes a prayer asking her to bless us. So devotees do this. Naturally, we look to devotees who are higher than us, and we ask them to pray to Krishna or speak to Krishna on our behalf. So we see these devotees in a special category, and we have the Bhagavatam is, of course, filled with them. We come across them right from the beginning. beginning with the sages at Naimisharanya, these great souls, Suta Goswami, who's reciting Srimad Bhagavatam. Then, of course, he quotes Shukadev Goswami. This is something else we see in the Bhagavatam. One person is quoting someone else, who's quoting someone else, who's quoting someone else. Sometimes the conversations go back several layers deep to the original. Someone answered this question at a previous time. So someone is quoting someone who's quoting someone who's quoting someone else. So there's always this reference to the authority and very respectful. I'm going to answer this in a way that somebody else answered it. This exalted person was asked this question. This devotee who knows more about this subject, who's more advanced than I am, was asked this. And this is how this person responded. So we see this in the Bhagavatam. And we also, of course, see the devotees speaking their own realizations. Or again, what I have heard. We often see this phrase. I have heard from the authorities. Even Krishna does this. He's giving some explanation and he says, this is supported by the Vedanta, by the Smriti, the Shruti. What I'm saying here is supported by the Shruti. I'm not making this up. So the Shruti Gana, we know in the Bhagavatam, we have a whole chapter, prayers by the personified Vedas. So they're also cited as authorities. They're associates of the Lord. They pray to the Lord when he wakes up in the morning. Just as a king wakes up and immediately people start chanting his glories. So when Krishna or Lord Vishnu wakes up, then the Shrutis, they start reciting the glories of the Lord. And Anantashesha, he's always reciting the glories of the Lord. So there are many devotees that we cite them. We see that these are advanced, pure devotees. And what they speak has great power and we respect them. Now what we find is that the pure devotees themselves, they also do this. Those of you who have read Brihad Bhagavatamrita, you know how the story goes. There are two parts, which the philosophy that's being presented in the two parts is essentially the same. And it's about this hierarchy of devotees and the hierarchy of the world, beginning in this world and going all the way up to Krishna's pastimes in Goloka Vrindavan. In the first part, there's a brahmana who wants to discover who's the greatest recipient of Krishna's mercy. So he begins by seeing a brahmana. A brahmana is worshipping his deities. And this devotee, he's astounded. He thinks, oh, what nice worship. This person has so much devotion. And look how carefully he's taking care of his deity. And then he starts glorifying this brahmana. And the brahmana says, whoa, whoa, wait a minute here. I'm nothing great. I'm just a humble servant of the Lord. And look at, I don't have any money. I can't really offer anything nice to my deities. This is so abominable that how can I properly offer the Lord? I'm just a poor brahmana. I worship the Lord. I'm just a poor brahmana. But there's this king who lives in South India. If you want to see worship of the Lord, go see him. Then you'll see. And so he glorifies this king, and then the brahmin goes and sees this king. And the king is very rich, and he's using all the resources of his kingdom to worship the deity in great opulence. And the brahmin is astounded, and he goes to the king, and he says, oh, you're such a great devotee. You must be the greatest recipient of Krishna's mercy. You have so much devotion, and you're worshiping with such opulence and care, all these resources. And the king says, I'm nothing. I'm insignificant. Like I can't offer. If you want to see worship, go see Indra. Go up to the heavenly planets. Go see the demigods. Go see how they worship. They're the ones who have gotten Krishna's mercy. Look at me. I got nothing compared to Indra and the demigods. I don't have anything. So he goes up to Indra. And the same thing happened. Even Indra, he's worshiping Lord Vamanadeva directly. Vamanadeva is his brother. He's there with him in Satyaloka, or what is it? Satyaloka is called, in the heavenly planets, anyway. So he's there, Indraloka. He's worshiping him there. So the brahmana, he sees this, and he glorifies Indra. So the same theme just gets repeated over and over again. Indra sends him up to Brahma. And then Brahma, of course, Brahma is in a special category. He's practically out of this world. He lives. He's not in it. Even if you see in the fifth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the geography of the universe, cosmography. So you see, you go up to Bhuvarswa. So Bhuloka is this planet, middle planetary systems. Of course, there are seven below and seven above. So you start here, and then you go up to Bhuvar, which is sort of between here and heaven. And then in the heavenly planets, Bhuvarswa, you go those three. So then there's four above that, upper planets. So if you look at the chart and the relative distances, Swargaloka, that's what I meant to say, not Satyaloka, Swargaloka is really close to the earth compared to Brahmaloka, Mahaloka, Janaloka, Tapaloka, then Brahmaloka. Those are way, way, way up there. They're way up there. I remember hearing many years ago when they were talking about, I don't know if how they're going to deal with this now, but in the temple of the Vedic Planetarium in Mayapur, they were going to do a graphic presentation of the different distances. So you start with Earth and you show how far the heavenly planets are and this and that. But they would have had to make it, by each do a circle. The farthest circle would have to be in Calcutta or something, I forget. The distance was so immense, such a difference between how far we are to heaven and how far it is to heaven and how far it is to Brahmaloka. So it's a very, very long ways away. So the distance is great, and the devotion is also relatively greater. Lord Brahma's absorption in Krishna consciousness. Then I'm forgetting how that first part ends, but the devotee doesn't go farther. He comes back down to the earth for some reason. And is it in that volume that he goes to Dwarka? I think it is in that volume. He goes to Dwarka because he's told, I think it's by Brahma, that Krishna's on the earth now, engaging in his own leelas on earth, so you should go see him. So he goes to Dwarka, and then in Dwarka, there's some amazing thing happens. Actually, Narada Muni arrives there. There's some talk going on. Either Narada or Uddhava mentions something about the gopis and the residents of Vrindavan feeling separation. So Krishna goes into ecstasy and loses consciousness. And he gets woken up, and they say, somebody, Narada or someone, makes an arrangement. Lord Brahma has made an arrangement for this Nava Vrindavan, which is between Raivata Mountain and Dwarka, where there is this replica Vrindavan that's been created by Brahma. But there in this Vrindavan, the Mother Yashoda and Nanda and so on, all the residents of Braja are there, but they're there only in like mannequins, sort of, just plastic cutouts, or wooden cutouts. They're just pictures of them. So Krishna goes there and starts talking to them, and they don't respond, so he thinks they must be in ecstasy or something. And his whole leela unfolds there. Very amazing pastime. That's the way eventually he's waken up from his ecstasy and he's told the whole story. Because at some point he ends up at the Dwarka ocean. He thinks he's in Vrindavan, then he sees the ocean and he gets all bewildered. So they have to reveal everything to him. So in the second part we have the story of Gopakumar. So Gopakumar, the same kind of thing. He keeps going here and there. He's given this mantra. And the mantra is the Gopal mantra. He's worshiping his deity. But he realizes gradually his rasa is as a cowherd boy. So he also goes around and he sees these different devotees. And he talks to them. And I think it's in the first part where... No, I'm forgetting. Because also we have, the king, then we get the different eternal associates of Krishna, some of them, like Prahlad Maharaj and Hanuman and Uddhava. That's the way it kind of works its way up, because they do the same thing. I think Prahlad is first, and then Prahlad says, no, I'm not such a great devotee. You should go to Hanuman. And then Hanuman sends him to Narada he's sending him? But it's Narada who's meeting them, right? Narada is meeting these different devotees. So Lord Shiva is there, and Parvati. So he goes, eventually he goes higher and higher and higher, and he goes all the way to, leaves the material world eventually. Actually, he even goes into the coverings of the universe, meets Varaha Dev, who's in charge of one of the coverings, the earth covering. And he leaves there, leaves this material world, goes to Ayodhya outside the material world, goes to Vaikuntha. So in all of these places, when he first gets there, he thinks, oh, this is it. I've made it. There's no farther. I'm not going any. I'm completely satisfied here. How could anything be better than this? That's what he thinks. How could anybody worship the Lord greater than this? How could their ecstasy be any greater? In Vaikuntha, he sees amazing things that devotees take on different forms to serve the Lord and all these extraordinary things that he can't even put into words. And he thinks, well, this is definitely it. And he worships the Lord, Lord Narayan there in Vaikuntha. But after a while, he starts to feel a little uncomfortable because he wants to play with him. But you can't play with Vishnu. He's doing his royal duties there in Vaikuntha. So he wants to say, hey, Gopal, come on, let's go outside and toss a ball around or something. And they have to say, whoa, something. You can't do that here. Shh. So he talks to Narada, and finally Narada says, no, you belong somewhere else, huh? Goloka Vrindavan. So he goes to Goloka Vrindavan. So we see these gradual progression. Of course, in Lord Chaitanya's discussion with Ramananda Rai also, we see how he begins with the practices of what is spiritual life. And really the first question is, when is it really spiritual practice? So we have Jnana Misra Bhakti and Karma Misra Bhakti, and then we have real bhakti, which begins with hearing, just staying in your occupation and hearing about Krishna. Because Shravanam, that's bhakti, that's one of the nine parts of bhakti. So then it goes higher and higher. The devotion becomes more intense and more pure. And then we hear about the different rasas, the neutrality, where devotees are just stunned and they can't really do anything. They're just overwhelmed by the opulence. They're just in awe of Krishna. Then service begins as a servant, and then so on. The cowherd boys, Mother Yashoda, Nanda Maharaj, those who have the parental affection, and finally the gopis. And then when Ramananda Rai gets to the gopis, it doesn't end there, of course. It goes on and on. We hear all these descriptions from the Ujjvala Nilamani and other places. Very esoteric rasa literature. Left-wing gopis and right-wing gopis and so on. And it's a sort of like competition, you might say. Who's the greatest devotee? Then the competition ends up between Radha and Chandrabali. Right-wing gopi and left-wing gopi. So Krishna likes Radha the best because she's a little stubborn and obstinate and proud, and she makes the sparks fly, you might say. She makes things happen. So then we hear about Radha and Krishna, of course, in some of their intimate pastimes. So at the very top, as Lord Chaitanya said, the best worst method of worshiping Krishna is that displayed by the gopis. Because they gave up everything. So, when we hear that, we might think, everybody else did too. So, the point is that Krishna's devotees, they're satisfied in their position. They may glorify others in their humility as being higher than them in some ways, loving Krishna more, but they're all satisfied in their own natures, in their own relationship with Krishna. There's a section in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. This is in the chapter 4, the first part, about Vaikuntha. There's a few verses. Let me see if I can find there. It talks here about hierarchy of the devotees a little bit. Let's see if I can find this. The question says, according to the way one worships, or the Lord awards different results. One who thus reaches the goal he has pursued never feels discontent. Commentary: the personality of Godhead knows everything there is to know. He is also the most merciful giver of charity. Why then doesn't he give the same happiness to all his devotees? Because it can be said, for example, that Radharani enjoys the highest happiness. So why doesn't every pure devotee get that? It is because what he gives them depends on their expressed desires. Then aren't the devotees dissatisfied who receive happiness that is relatively less? No. When the Supreme Lord reciprocates the love of any of his pure devotees, the devotee is never left feeling incomplete, because everything the devotee wanted, the Lord provides. So this goes on a little more in the next purport too. I'll read that. This is text 190, fourth chapter. The Lord's pastimes expand in unlimited variety. His mind is deeper than millions of oceans. The opulence of his diverse pastimes attracts his devotees to him in so many ways. Who can understand him by speculation? Commentary. But why doesn't the Lord bestow the very best method of worship upon all his devotees? After all, he is Rishikesh, the master of the senses, who inspires all the energies of knowledge and activity. If he wanted to bestow the very best method, he could, but he chooses instead to respond to the individual taste of each devotee for a particular loving service. This variety of reciprocation with many different devotees is his lila and his special greatness. How can anyone presume to understand why he acts as he does? We can understand only this much. Were he not to expand varieties of pastimes with various devotees, the charm of his variegated enjoyment would not be complete. So this is part of the reciprocation. It works out perfectly. Krishna wants all variety, infinite variety of enjoyment and exchanges. Because we may have the desire to exchange in a certain way with our parents, with our friends, our children, a certain limited number of people. But Krishna has unlimited ability to do that, to relate perfectly with unlimited numbers of living entities. So he wants that. And then the devotees also have their unique individual desire, every one of them, on how to relate to Krishna, how to serve Krishna, how to love Krishna. So the two fit together perfectly and everybody's satisfied in their position. So in that sense, there's really no higher and lower, although we speak of it in certain ways, and the Acharyas do, as we heard about today. So I'll read the translations again. Once after the uprooting of the Yamala Arjuna trees, Rohini Devi went to call Ram and Krishna, who had both gone to the riverside and were playing with the other boys with deep attention. Because of being too attached to playing with the other boys, Krishna and Balaram did not return upon being called by Rohini. Therefore, Rohini sent Mother Yashoda to call them back, because Mother Yashoda was more affectionate to Krishna and Balaram. Any questions or comments? Let's see, I think Ramya had his hand up first. Ramya?
You've been speaking a little bit about sort of a hierarchy that exists. And I'm wondering, in the section where Vidura meets Uddhava, and wants to ask some questions, Uddhava refers him to speak to Maitreya, although Uddhava obviously is a more intimate associate of the Lord. So is there like another kind of relationship operating there?
Yeah, of course, that's a devotee's humility, and it's also the standard, a Vaishnava standard or practice, that just like the practice is that a person doesn't initiate disciples while his spiritual master is still initiating disciples, even though he may be very qualified. This is the standard practice. It's just Vaishnava etiquette. So this is just standard etiquette among devotees, what you're referring to here. It's really not an indication that one is more advanced than the other. It's just that this devotee is being deferential and acknowledging that this person is senior to me. He knows the philosophy. You should hear from him. So this may not always be followed, but this is an example where it is followed, and we're learning that lesson from it. Yeah, Mukunda Prabhu?
Yeah, actually, there's a couple of things. One nice thing is that all the devotees from all the previous incarnations, they're completely satisfied in the nature of their love for Krishna. What they appreciate about Vrijavasis, especially gopis, especially Radhika, is the intensity of their love. So in Chaitanya Charitamrita, it's explained, Premaiva Gopanam Ramanam Kamam Ityagamat Pratam Uddhava Adayo Apietan Vajanti Bhagavat Priya. All of those devotees, they will get a chance to have the same intensity of love, even though they will not change ras, they'll have the intensity of that love by coming into Mahaprabhu's Leela.
Mm-hmm.
So doing the Mahaprakash in Srivas's house, all these devotees, they were able to, by their association with Mahaprabhu, get the intensity of that love. That's one of the vishesha or specialities of Mahaprabhu's Leela. Just the other thing was the sweetness of the relationship between Mother Rohini and Mother Yashoda is that Mother Yashoda, she's the archetype of Vatsalya Prem. So everyone who tastes Vatsalya Prem, they taste through the archetype of Mother Yashoda. Just like all the gopis used to have Krishna steal from their house, but he had never stolen in his own house. So to arrange that Leela to be complete, there has to be Damodar Bandhan Leela, where Krishna steals in his own house, and all the gopis get to reciprocate with Mother Yashoda experiencing what they used to tell her about every day. So also the last thing is that when they were playing and they were so absorbed in playing and they wouldn't come back, when Mother Yashoda went, she told to Krishna Balaram, you should come home and take lunch. And they were hemming and hawing. So she finally said, look, if you don't come home, you'll be eaten by this ghost called Hal Bilal. So that time Krishna Balaram said, what Hal Bilal? We don't believe in any Hal Bilal. We've never seen him, Maya. We're here every day. We've never seen. Said, no, certainly Hal Bilal exists. Then Mother Yashoda made very big eyes and she simply turned around and started running at full speed. At that time, Krishna Balaram, seeing Mother Yashoda run, they took off running behind her so fast they passed her and got back to the house before her without even looking back. So her love has this kind of expertise built into it that she's able to capture them like this.
Anything else? Prang Govinda Prabhu?
That's very nice. In Chaitanya Charitamrita also Adi 4 explains this. Radha Krishna Vichyasadaya Ki Sarup Lila Rasa Asyadite Dhare Dui Rup. Previous chapter, this is 11, right? 10, 9, where Parikshit Maharaj was astonished that he asked that question, and Sukhdev Goswami answered, Nanda Kim Akaro Brahman Sreyobe Mahodaya Yashodava Mahabhaga Papo Yasya Stanam Hari. What is this complete satisfied, never need to be fed milk or anything, completely self-satisfied Bhagavan is begging for breast milk? What was the cause? That was the question Parikshit Maharaj asked. And Prabhupada, I find at least three places in that chapter, he wanted to make sure I understand or we understand that Yashoda's position is not a mother by sadhan or sadhan siddha or anywhere. this is Prabhupada repeated the same thing. She said, she is the origin, nitya siddha expansion. So first is Srimati Radhika. That verse clearly says, Radha Krishna Vichyasada Eki Swarup. Radha Krishna together is the absolute truth. But then Srimati Radhika, in order to nourish this intimacy, then she expanded herself. That Swarup Shakti expanded. That is Vatsulya Ras. And Mother Yashoda is the avatari or origin source of all rasa. That's why all the mothers became mother by following Mother Yashoda's. So Mother Yashoda always 100% of the 100%. I don't know how you explain that. But Rohini mother is also 100%, but there is something lacking always. That which will be proven later on in Kurukshetra, where Mother Yashoda's supremacy will be bestowed in front of Devaki and others, where Devaki even thinking, it's my son. Why possible that Krishna and Yashoda bonded so much, crying? So she saw all the maid servants are little disturbed. Whose son is Krishna? Is it like, because Yashoda just first time they met Yashoda, that Krishna literally was a grandfather, but he became a little child and embracing Mother Yashoda and does not let her go, or she doesn't let him go. Prabhupada translated like a Ganga Jamuna is flowing from her eyes with the black kajal. Prabhupada said is mixed with her breast milk like a Ganges and Jamuna. And then for hours and hours, they are like emphasizing. And Devaki felt very uncomfortable because she thought this is her son. But she never felt that kind of intimacy for Vatsalya. So she started glorifying Yashoda, but still she didn't pay any attention because her eyes is like over flooded with tears. At the end, Rohini had to take her out to establish that they will not understand. Later on, Sripad Radhanath Maharaj brought, I think few years back in the class, he said, the Mother Yashoda's position is so high that one time Lord Krishna in Dwarka saw that his mother is upset, sad. Said, Mother, what's the matter? I always wonder, what was that form you had in Vrindavan? Oh, that's why you are upset? Said, well, it's like very emotionally ties. So then Lord Krishna manifested that form. Well, instead of giving breast milk or a little baby Krishna, she started paying obeisances. So that's the another point, that even Krishna manifests Yashoda's son to other mother, they don't feel like overwhelmed instead of taking care. That's why Krishna never really drink milk so much. That's why Popo Joseph Tanamori, the breast milk Prabhupada emphasized so much in Nectar Devotion, that if we see Kapil Dev and Devahuti, well, Kapil Dev didn't even drink breast milk because there was a yogi. He walked and sat down. With the Devaki also, he left. So all the mothers, only Mother Yashoda is the mother that where Krishna even begging for breast milk. And he's getting angry. Kama, Krodha, Lobha is the highest form over there for the breast milk.
Okay. Yashoda Mai ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.